This teaching is brought to you by Christian Family Church International.
Every person is focused on God right now. You can have a God appointment right now. It can be something new today. It can be different than any other day. If you choose to tap in. The Bible says that Jesus said to the woman at the well that if you knew who was asking, you would have asked for living water and you would have never thirst again. Family, right now, I know so many of us are thirsty in the spirit. Every eye is closed and we're just praying, we're focusing on God. I know so many people are thirsty in the spirit. And there's living water available to you tonight. There's living water available to you. All you need to do is drink. All you need to do is receive. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that as I preach the word, that every single heart and every single ear is affected, Father God. That transformation will come, that freedom will come. That they will rise up as sons and daughters who know their inheritance in Christ. In Jesus' name. And if you agree, shout amen. I can hear we're getting tired of shouting, even me. My voice is also tired of shouting, so I'm going to take a water break there. Everybody else take a water break? There we go. Okay, let's get into the word. So, as I said this morning, Reclaim. Reclaim was birthed in like a, what you call it, Reclaim. The theme of Reclaim was birthed in a brainstorming session. And I sat there, and the people asked me, Pastor Naneka, what is God saying to you, right? What is God saying to you about this conference? And immediately, it dropped into my spirit. Fill the earth and subdue it, all right? And what happened? I want to take us on a little bit of a journey to what it truly, truly means to reclaim biblically. What does God mean by reclaim? From His Word, what does He mean when He says reclaim? Family, we can use a lot of words, right? But if we don't have the understanding of what God meant with that word, it doesn't mean anything. Because you see, I can say peace and I have one definition. And God can say peace and it's a whole different thing. Because God orchestrated these terminologies, right? Remember, words have creative power. You guys know that? God spoke the world into being. Words have creative power. If we misuse words, we are creating the wrong things in our lives. So if we're going to think about reclaim and we're going to talk about reclaim, we need to understand it as God understands it, all right? So what happens? God creates the earth. He puts Adam and Eve on the earth. Things are going well, right? God is creating the birds of the field and He's creating all of these things and He's creating the stars and everything. And the last thing He creates, listen, I don't want to lie my facts now. Let me go back. God is creating everything. And He's creating Adam and Eve. And the first thing He says to Adam and Eve after they are created, look at this. So remember, this is Adam and Eve on the earth, and He gives them an assignment. We spoke about assignment earlier. God's first words that are spoken to you in any particular situation is your assignment. You get me? The first words you hear about God, from God in a specific situation, is going to be very important. You know, sometimes we wonder, why am I not hearing God anymore? Because He's probably already spoken and He's waiting for you to go back to what He did say. Amen? So what happens? They created and God gives them this assignment. Then God blessed them. Do you know what is one of the definitions of blessing? It's the ability to prosper, the ability to create something. Blessing is not just money, cars, and all of those things. It's the ability to produce. Sometimes we think, if I have the car, I'm blessed. But God has placed within you a capacity to produce something. Something that He has called you to. God created within Adam and Eve an ability to produce. That's the blessing. So it says God blessed them. Then it says, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Fill the earth and subdue it. To subdue means to have control over. So God created Adam and Eve to have control over this whole earth. And if we are looking around us right now, it doesn't 100% seem like the children of God have control over the earth. If we're looking at things. But things are not always what they seem. Things are not always what they look like. He says to them, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. That means that when Adam and Eve was created, they had the ability to say they must a tree must sprout from the ground and it will happen. They had the ability to say there must be an animal to eat and it would happen. That's what God gave them, the capacity that was within them. There was an ability to produce within them. What happens? They sin. Sin enters the earth, and what happens? The Bible says then the earth started fighting back. Poverty entered. The curse entered. Sickness entered. Now they had to work for everything. They had to plant. They had to kill animals to survive. All of those type of things. God, you see, God had an original intent for them. He gave them an original assignment. And they disobeyed and they lost that assignment. You can lose your assignment by disobedience. The price of disobedience is too high. It's too high. It might seem like a moment. I'm just going to quickly compromise here. I'm just going to quickly make this decision. And nothing will happen. And you look back and 3 months later, you are living in sin that you never thought would have you. The price of a decision. Our spiritual father says this. He says, among our everyday decisions are some that are ordinary, but there are some that are destiny defining. And the moment comes and you choose and you seal your destiny forever. Family, you're still young enough to be sure that you stay in God's original intent. Because you see, after Adam and Eve sinned, now we're living in what we call a fallen system. The Bible calls it a Babylonian system, meaning you have to work for everything. But guess what we are reclaiming back? The original intent. Say that, original intent. And to be able to do that, you need to understand what God gave. Family, when Jesus said he gave us all authority, he means all authority. That means that when you see a sick person, you can say in the name of Jesus, be healed, and they healed. It means that if you're living in poverty, you can speak to that situation and you can say, in the name of Jesus, I command this poverty to leave my life because I am living in abundance. That's what God gave us. It's an authority that he gave us. And whether you believe it or not, I always say this to the youth, whether you believe it or not, it's true. And the system will work with you or the system will work against you. See, there's a kingdom system and there's a world system. The kingdom system is, I trust God, I rely on God, God is my father, I use my God-given authority, I believe the word, I speak the word, I live in health, I live in healing. And the world system says you have to hustle for everything you got. And we start relying on money, and we start relying on people, and we start relying on things, and we enter into a realm of disappointment with life because where was your trust? If your trust, how can we be disappointed with a good God? If you're sitting here today and you still have breath in your lungs, he's good. He's good. There is no other question about his family. Things might not always align. Maybe you're sitting here and you have a real sickness in your body. Maybe you're sitting here and you have R0 in your bank account. I understand that. I understand that's a real reality. Maybe you're sitting here and your father has left you. I understand that. But family, some of you know my testimonies, but most of you guys don't. I'm standing here today and I lost both my parents before the age of 21 to cancer. And I needed to make a decision. Am I going to believe the original intent? Or am I going to bow to a system that tells me God isn't good? And every day we all have to make that decision. Every single day. What system will I live by? And reclaim was birthed out of saying, we will get back to the original intent. We will walk as sons and daughters of the Most High. Do you know the Bible calls you kings and priests? Do you know the Bible calls you royalty? But we read those scriptures and we put it on our statuses, but we don't believe it truly. Because the first time a challenge comes, I start doubting that. Am I really a daughter? Family, let me tell you something. The moment you accept that challenges will come, life becomes a lot more relaxed. Oh, another challenge. The devil is trying, but I know my God. I know his word. I know he's good. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on going. Joshua had to take over from his mentor. If you guys remember, Moses brought the people out of Israel, he attempted to bring the people out of Israel into the promised land, but because they sinned and disobeyed, they did not see their promised land. So Joshua had to take over. What does God say to Joshua? Here in Joshua 1 verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. He is saying to Joshua, everywhere you walk, every space you walk into, you can claim for God. By virtue of you being there, royalty has showed up. God's intent has showed up. An ambassador for the kingdom of God has showed up. Do you know when we started, we at this point are ministering to over 10 schools on a monthly basis. We are allowed into the school to preach the gospel. That's not normal. Family, it seems normal. It's not normal to be able to be allowed into school and preach the gospel. We have worship sessions in schools. Do you know how it started? Me and Sheldon got into the car, one of our team members got into the car, and we drove around the area and we prayed and we claimed it for God. Because we knew the scripture. Every place we set our foot, we are claiming for God. That means that every time you walk into the streets, when I say let's reclaim the streets, I'm not making a joke. I'm saying you go into those streets where the people are. She's from the streets. Go fetch them and bring them back. He's for the streets. Go fetch him and bring him back. Because when you walk those streets, you're claiming them. That's not a cute Instagrammable quote. That's the word. The word says that when you walk, it's yours. And family, it doesn't have to make sense. What do you mean, Pastor? Like, I just walk and it's mine. Yes. God's instructions very rarely made sense. You know, one time, one of his disciples entered into a city and they had to pay tax. And they asked Jesus, Jesus, do you have money for the tax? And Jesus says, go to that pool and get a fish, and the fish is going to have gold in its mouth. That's not normal. To this day, I don't understand why he did that, right? But it doesn't have to make sense. Do you know when a blind man came to him, he spat on dirt and rubbed it into the blind man's eye, and the blind man could see? I don't pretend to understand how that makes sense. But what I know is that Jesus said, everything I hear my Father say, I do. So we have to understand that God the Father instructed him. So it doesn't make sense to start driving around the East Rand and claiming schools for God. But guess what? Where are we? How many schools are represented here? 20? 30? Every one of you are in a school that you can walk the halls and say, I'm claiming the school for Jesus. Pastor Nanika, I'm in a school. Everybody's undisciplined. It's not nice. There's bullying. Okay. Claim it. Walk there. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of bullying. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke this disobedience. In the name of Jesus. You have all authority, Jesus said. But family, guess what? It takes guts to walk like that. It takes guts. Get in the fight. Do you know what the most boring place to be is? In the middle. Because what do you stand for? Are you for the world? Are you for the streets? Are you for Jesus? When you're in the middle, guess what? You actually lose people's respect. Jesus said himself, I wish you were hot or cold. He said, I'd rather you be cold than you be lukewarm. Because I cannot, you know why? A lukewarm person does not know that they're not hot. Because it all looks the same from the outside. Do you know where's the difference in the fruit? Who are you discipling? Who are you winning for Jesus? That's fruit. Family, the value of your testimony lies only in how much you tell it. I'm going to say that again. The value of your testimony lies only in how much you tell it. People ask me, how do you evangelize? Tell your testimony. We want to make it awkward. Listen, do you know Jesus? Can you go to my church? No. Walk up high. Can I tell you what my God has done for me? I'm going to promise you, 90% of people are going to be so taken aback that you actually want to share with them. They're just going to say yes. 10% will say no. But that's okay. We keep on moving. And when you tell your testimony, people are inspired. And guess what? You're creating a hunger for what is in your life. Every time you tell your testimony, you're creating a hunger for God in people's lives. People do not come to Christ by condemnation. People do not come to Christ just because you tell them they're sinners. Guess what? I think they already know. You know what they don't know? Their need for God. Their need for God. Genesis 13 verse 17 says, "Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I will give it to you." That was an instruction to Abraham when he took him to a new place. He said, walk. Walk the land. You know, God wants to take us to new places, but we're sometimes so unwilling to move where we're from because it's comfortable and it's familiar. And I understand that, family. Sometimes it's easier to live with the problems of the familiar than go into the unknown where there might be a blessing. You know, there's a saying that says, rather the devil you know. Meaning that I know these problems, I know these things, so nothing can surprise me. But if I step out of the boat and I step into newness, then maybe there's something I don't know. Guess what? Again, family, it's better on the other side. Because at least you tried. At least you said, I'm going to take God at his work. I'm going to walk these lands. And I'm going to trust him for something different. I'm going to trust him for something in my life. Family, comfortable religion will not shake a nation. Comfortable religion will not heal South Africa. You need a people that says, we will walk this land and we're going to claim back. Do you know Africa is the richest continent in minerals? Statistically, based on that fact, we actually need to be at the top of the log in terms of economy. But somewhere, we allowed people to call Africa the dark continent. Like there's no potential, like there's nothing to give. Africa and South Africa belongs to Jesus. But you know 80% of South Africans say that they're Christian? Then why is the economy the way it is? Why is load shedding the way it is? Why is our school system the way it is? Because people are not walking in their authority. And family, the truth I'm telling you right now, you can go home and say it was cute. I didn't really understand what she was talking about, but it was nice. Or you can say, you know what? Let me go study this thing. Let me go understand what Jesus said when I was walk the land. Let me understand what Jesus said when I have all authority. Because that's what changes a nation. You know, we're over 1,600 people here today. And if every single one of us decides to live in this truth, can you imagine what this country can become? Can you imagine the potential just in this room? But we all have to choose it every day. Every day I'm going to walk in the authority God has given me. At some point, God sent out Paul to go preach the gospel. He appointed Paul to go reclaim a people back to God. And let's pick up the story there. And he said, and him and one of his friends, Barnabas, is standing in front of a people. And they say, and they're speaking to the Jewish nation. If you remember correctly, or if you don't, I'm telling you now, the Jewish nation before Jesus was the only nation chosen by God. And when Jesus came, they did not recognize him as Messiah. So Paul tried to tell them that, listen, the Messiah has come. God is here. You need to see him. We are sometimes so comfortable with our view of God, we do not even recognize when Jesus is in the room. You know, I saw, and I'm not saying this to bring condemnation, but I saw people sitting down during worship and looking at it like it's a show, and I'm not bringing shame on you. I'm not. I want to encourage you tonight. It says to me that you don't necessarily understand what we're doing, and that's also okay because I know we're all on a journey. But you know, if you understood, if you saw him for who he was, if you saw Jesus for who he truly was, you would be on your knees weeping every single day. You would be standing and you'd be praising. And again, don't let the devil lie to you. I'm not saying this to bring shame on you. I'm saying this to empower you. See him. Seek him. Adore him. This conference means nothing if we don't go out of here thirsting for him more. I do not want this conference for the hype. I do not want it for the hype. I want it because I need people to see him. We gather like this for over 10 hours because we want you to see God. We want your mind to be expanded so that you can see him again. Because sometimes our minds are so clouded by the lies of the devil. And we have formed an identity around it. And we believe it so much. If I had to ask in this room, how many people truly believe that God has forsaken them? That God will do it for anybody, but he will not do it for me. I believe that at one stage, family. I was a Christian, born again, Holy Spirit filled, preaching on stage, and I did not believe that God truly loves me. I didn't. I preached it. I won hundreds to Jesus, but I didn't believe it. Because why? I looked around me instead of upward. I looked what was happening. Praise Jesus. I looked what was happening around me, and I said, how can God love me and both my parents are dead? How can God love me, but every month I'm struggling to just get a meal? I base my theology on what I see instead of him. Family, and when I chose to go look at the scriptures, I went to specifically the book of John. The book of John is known for exposing the lover side of Jesus. I went to go study that book. If you go there from John chapter 4 and you just go on, every single chapter, God's love. It's just his love and how he feels about people. He says in John 15, you did not choose me, but I chose you. How can somebody who chose you first reject you? It doesn't make sense. We live with this spirit of rejections, but he literally said, I chose you. And that is why the word is so important, and that's why the meditation of the word is so important. Because the more you think about that, and the more you pray on it, and the more you confess it, it becomes a reality in your life. I've been serving God now for 12 years, and you're too late to tell me that he's not for me. You're too late to tell me that he didn't choose me. The devil is too late to tell me he didn't choose me. Last year, toward the end of December, I got sick in a way that I've never been sick before. I don't do sickness. It's not my vibe, you know. But I got sick. Like, type of, you know, I'm not at work. I'm not okay. My friends can't get a hold of me. That type of sick. You know, guys, I went to the hospital for the first time in, like, 12 years. I don't even have a GP. They asked me, who's your GP? I was like, I don't have one because I don't need one. Anyway, so I find myself there. And I'm lying there, dripped up. And I say to God, how did we get here, you know? And he says to me, keep on doing what you know to do. Confess the healing. Stand on the scriptures. Adore me, love me, worship me. I did not change my theology in the middle of the storm. I did not change what I believe about God when things didn't go my way. I cannot afford to do that. You cannot afford to do that. Life is too tough. Let me tell you something. It's too tough. You have to stick to what you know. Stick to the truth. But let's pick it up here from Paul. And he said, and he's speaking to the Jews, and he said, we had to speak the word of God to you first, since you reject it and do not consider yourself worthy of eternal life. Some of us reject God because we do not consider ourselves worthy. And I'm saying to you what I said this morning, it's not about you. It's about the blood, the price he paid for you. And it will always be, the blood will always be enough. Every day the blood is enough. The Jewish nation could not accept that. They would not accept it. And then Paul went to another people group known as the Gentiles. So in those days, everybody that wasn't a Jew is a Gentile. And he says, we now turn to the Gentiles, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. And this is his assignment to you. Listen to this. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, meaning for the people. Read it like this. I have made you a light for the people groups of the world, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. That is your assignment. That is how you reclaim. You walk and you take light into the darkest places of South Africa and you say, this belongs to God, no more. You go where the prostitutes are and you say, no more. You evangelize. You know there's a place called, an organization called Expose Hope in Durban. Do you know every single Thursday night they go evangelize to the prostitutes? They don't condemn them. They don't say to them, listen, what you're doing is a sin. They know that. But they saw no other way out. Do you know why people turn to that type of sin? They saw no other way out. But guess what? Those people go and they love and they take them like deodorant and stuff like that just to show them the love of God. And slowly but surely all of those people repent and they get them jobs. And they get them and they rehabilitate them. Do you know a shelter will not even take a prostitute in because she's a prostitute? shelters aren't allowed to go to prostitutes aren't allowed to go there. That's how hectic it is. Why am I bringing all of this up? Because you can be the change. You can be the change. But family, it starts with your neighbor. Just tell your neighbor, do you want to come to church with me? Just start there before you go to the prostitute. But you can do that as well. All right. Let's look what it says here. In Luke 14, verse 23, Jesus tells a parable about a master that sends out his servants to join a wedding. And he says this, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Another translation says, go into the highways and the byways, meaning every road you can find, go and compel people to come dine. Because family, Jesus is coming back and he's looking for his bride and the wedding feast is approaching and people are not ready. A wedding feast is approaching because the bridegroom is returning. There's no question about it. And you know the Bible says that day will come. And the bridegroom will close the door and there will be no more opportunity to choose him. The door, as we stand right now on the precipice of eternity, the door is closing. And you have to choose him. I implore you, I beg you, live on fire for God because a day will come where there's no more choices. A day will come where there's no more choices. You have to choose today. You have to choose today. Choose today who you will serve, the Bible says. Do you know there was a man called Hosea? And God sent Hosea to go claim the streets. Do you know how he did that? God asked, you know, at that point, Hosea was a prophet to his nation, meaning he was the man of God. He was a top boss. He was that guy that everybody went to and say, listen, tell me a prophecy. Let me tell yourself a number. No, I'm joking. So they said, and everybody went to him and asked for a prophecy. And that's not what happened. Sorry. My brain went to a joke. Now, do you guys know that prophet that you give him money and he gives a prophecy? That's not what we're doing here. But my brain went there. Anyway, so Isaiah the prophet, he's the one that directed the course of the nation in terms of telling the nation this is what God's saying. So he was God's voice to a nation. That's how the prophets worked in the old day. God says to Hosea, go marry a prostitute. That's crazy. That doesn't make sense. That is for real, reclaiming the streets. He said, go fetch her. Let me read it for you from the Bible. Hosea 1, verse 2 to 3. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, go marry a promiscuous, that means you have more than one sexual partner, woman, and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. God wanted to set Hosea up as an example of what Israel was doing to him. What the people group of that time was doing to him, meaning they were unfaithful. They were treating him as if they have more options. They treated God like an option. They treated him like there's more, there's better out there. There's a song like that, but I'm not going to do that now. Yo, the temptation is so much. All right. They treated God like an option. Family, it does not make sense for Hosea to go out and marry a prostitute. But it was God's assignment for his life. Because you know what it was? It was a type and shadow of what Jesus would do for the church. Do you know in this story, me and you are the prostitutes? And God sends, don't quote that, and God sends Jesus to come claim us back for him. But guess what she does? Her name was Gomer. Guess what Gomer does? Gomer leaves and she goes back to the streets. 2 + 2 = 4 the streets. All right. She goes back to the streets, family. Do you know what eventually happens? She ends up in a slave market where they bid on her, where people are trying to buy her. The world is bidding for your soul. The devil is bidding for your soul. But guess what? The price has been paid. But family, we can be the people that go back to the slave market. Where the price has been paid, but we go back to the slave market. And Hosea goes to the slave market and he sees Gomer standing there. And listen to the assignment or the instruction of the Lord, Hosea 3 verse 1. Then the Lord said to me, go again. Love a woman who is loved by another lover. Go again. Go again. Go again. There's people that you've invited to Jesus and they are saying, no, go again. There's people that God, there's a space that God has called you to, but it seems hostile. Go again. There's a family that God has called you to evangelize to, and they swear at you, and your aunties and your uncle, go again. And Hosea goes, and he buys her back. And listen to this. Just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who look to other gods. God knows there's people in this room who is looking towards other things, and he is not their one true source. He knows that. But still he's saying, I'm sending Jesus for you. I'm sending Jesus for you. Every person to their feet. And I want us for a moment as Christians begin to pray. Just focus for me. For a moment. This is a holy moment. If the band can come up. This is a holy moment, family. I need you to make a choice tonight. I told you the door is closing and Jesus is returning and we cannot be in the middle. We cannot be in the middle. You need to make a choice for Jesus tonight. You need to decide today who will you serve? What life will you lead? If you want to truly reclaim, you need to reclaim that right to make a decision for God. There is no other options. Nobody is moving around right now. This is a holy moment. Please lock the doors for me. This is important. This is the moment that this conference was built upon. Christians are praying, every head bowed, every eye closed. You need to make a decision for God. If you're standing here today and you've lived through this whole conference and you've heard Rory's message and you've heard the panel and you've heard the workshops and something in your heart has stirred and you've said, enough is enough. I will not live in the middle anymore. I want to know God fully. I want to know him with my whole life. I want to give my life back to him. Or I want to choose him for the first time. I need to know this Jesus. I hunger, I thirst. Nothing else has worked. Religion has not worked. Church has not worked. I need to choose Jesus tonight. If that is you, I'm begging you. Come to the altar and choose him and make right and say, today is the last day of lukewarmness. Today is the last time that I will be confused, and I'm inviting you as we clap for you, and you're going to come to the altar and we're going to pray for you. Let's start clapping for them saints and let's start rejoicing. Come to the altar and choose Jesus and thank God for what he is doing. Today is the last day that we will live in the middle. We choose him and we give our lives. And we say, Jesus, tonight we want to give our all. We are never going back. I'm asking, wait with the cards, please. Please wait with the cards. No cards are being handed out. Don't hand out cards yet, please, guys. Thank you, Jesus. Keep coming to the front. Keep clapping. Keep rejoicing, family. Hell is being plundered and heaven is being filled. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Keep clapping, keep rejoicing, family. This is what conference is about. This is why we do what we do. Keep clapping, keep rejoicing. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. This is the last night. We will choose you. We will live for you. We rejoice. We declare we have come to God, and we thank you, Jesus. And we thank you, Jesus. And we thank you, Jesus. Family, we are not rejoicing like a people that believe that hell is being emptied. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We glorify you. We glorify you. Tonight is the last night of living in the middle. We are saying that we are with Jesus. We are with the bridegroom. We are choosing him. We are choosing him. We are choosing him. We are choosing him. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Right now, can every person that has decided to make decisions, nobody's filling in the cards. Just leave the cards, guys. Oh, please. Look at me. This is more than a decision. This is you saying that eternally I believe that Jesus has paid the price for my soul. This is you saying that never again will I be the same. That never again will I walk in the middle. But I'm laying down my old life and I'm picking up this life that he has paid for me for. I thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Let's pray this prayer together. Let's stretch out our hands to these people. Raise your hands. And you, everybody in the front, we are so proud of you and we thank God for you. Praise Jesus. Thank you for having the guts. For having the guts to come forward. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear Jesus, let's all pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you. You paid the price for my sin. The grave is empty. You rose from the dead. And forever I know I belong to you. I am your child. Heaven is my home. I vow to from this day on be a true disciple. I choose God. I choose a life of holiness. I know I can't do this in my own strength, but I know Holy Spirit is going to empower me and is going to bring me to a place of perfection in Jesus, in Jesus' name. And if you believe that, right now as a room, we are going to celebrate and we're going to thank God. Praise Jesus. We praise you, God. We praise you, God. We praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 We praise you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us during this episode of Living Life with Dr. Theo and Bev Vollmerens. We hope that through this inspired teaching, you had an encounter with God. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Apostle Theo and Dr. Bev Vollmerens and would like to enjoy more resources, we hope you will visit our website at www.christianfamilychurch.co.za or for our American listeners, www.christianfamilychurchsa.com.